إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. في الدرس الماضي تحدثنا عن من الشرك لبس الحلقة والخيط ونحوهما لرفع البلاء أو لدفعه، فما هو نوع الشرك في لبس الحلقة أو الخيط؟ What type of shirk a person practices upon wearing a bracelet or a necklace for the purpose of keeping evil from befalling that person or delivering himself from an evil situation? About the cause and effect relationship. Remember last time we have explained something concerning the cause and effect. السبب والمسبب. وشرحنا أن هنا أن الله سبحانه وتعالى ربط الأسباب بمسبباتها. فكل شيء أثبته الله سببا شرعيا أو سببا قدريا نحن نتخذه سببا. What is the relationship between making shirk and the cause and effect relationship? Muhammad, right? You want to take a shot at it? Sounds good. Anybody, Muhammad? Okay. الأسباب, the reason which are أسباب شرعية. Let's refresh your memory. We said الأسباب, they are several levels. أسباب شرعية, أسباب قدرية, الأسباب محرمة، الأسباب شركية. He has said the reason to get pain, some of it is religious reason, legislated reason, and some of it is something that Allah created to be a reason in our intangible world, in the reality. And the third thing, something which is haram. And the fourth thing, something which is shirk. For example, if a person is hungry and he eats pork, the hunger will go away. So he utilized some haram way to deliver himself from hunger. So this reason is haram. هذا السبب محرم. السبب الشرعي, if a person has a headache and read Al-Fatiha to deliver himself from the headache. هذا السبب شرعي. If he takes 2 pills of headache medicine, that is سبب قدري. Something has to do with the qadr, something has to do with what Allah created. And how we know the qadr, the سبب القدري, how we can find out about it? By trial and error. Something has to be tangible. Something has to be proven. السبب الشرك. If somebody says to you, if you wear a talisman, your headache will go away. Is there any relationship between wearing a talisman and your head being going away? We look at the religion. Is there anything in the religion tell us wearing a talisman will deliver our headache? We find no. Is there any something that is tangible and proving that wearing the talisman will have some type of physical, tangible effect on your body? No. So that will make wearing the talisman a shirk. And the type of shirk, because you, the person, has made a cause, has affirmed something to be a cause, and it's not a cause. It's not a cause. يعني الإنسان وضع شرع شيئا ليكون سببا وهو ليس بالسبب القدري وليس بالسبب الشرعي. والله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي يربط الأسباب بمسبباتها، وهو الذي خلق الأسباب وهو الذي خلق المسببات. فإذا قام الإنسان بمثل هذا العمل يكون في عمله شركا، أي أنه أشرك نفسه في وضع الأسباب مع الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولكن هو لا يعتقد ذلك ولا يفعل ذلك بنية التشريع أو بنية الخلق، لهذا يسمى شرك أول، لأنه لو فعل ذلك بنية التشريع وهو يفقه ذلك ويعلم ذلك فقد يقع في الشرك الأكبر. How do you see after the writer of this book, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab, we have talked about several issues concerning Tawheed and Shirk, but we were talking in generality. The last chapter, chapter 6, we talked about the tafsir of al-Tawheed. And then in the next chapter, chapter 7, he talked about things of Shirk. And now he is going into specification. In certain specific things that are acts of shirk. So now we have to concentrate on those issues so we do not forget them, inshaAllah. And we start the next chapter. And the chapter is where it says the من باب ما جاء في الرقى والتمائم. باب ما جاء في الرقى والتمائم. الرقى، الرقى in English is incantation. Incantation is رقى. What is that incantation or رقى؟ الرقية هي شيء الإنسان تستخدم، وهي شيء ليس من الأمور المحسوسة، لرفع البلاء، لرفع الألم. هذه الرقى. هذه الرقى، this incantation, something that we use, أخي, something that is not tangible. It's not the pills that you take, it's not the food that you eat, it's something that's incorporeal as opposed to being physical. Something which is incorporeal, a person uses to deliver himself from agony, from sickness, to bring a protection upon himself. This is incantation. This incantation, هذه الرقى, is two types. Type which is shirk and type which is not shirk. Type which is permissible. Because the Prophet ﷺ used incantation. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ used this style of healing. We all know the Qufa, the account where one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, some of them, they were on a certain mission. And they asked people to give them some food. And the tribe refused to give them anything. Then the leader of that tribe was stung by a scorpion or a snake. I doubt it, myself. So they came to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and they said to them, if any of you can do incantation, any rock amongst you? So the companion said, yes, but we do not do that unless you give us certain cows, certain sheep. They accepted. Then he went to the leader of the tribe, and he recited upon him Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Fatiha. And that man got up as if nothing was wrong with him. When they came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked him about it, he said, how do you know if there's a ruqya? He said, how do you know if there's a ruqya? And he answered him. So with that being the case, that is an example where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the companions of the Prophet, they used the Fatiha to be a practice of incantation. Also we know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dua that he used to say, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ أُعِيذُكَ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ السَّامَّةِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَامَّةٍ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّةٍ. I protect you with the perfect words of Allah, with from the shaitan and from the evil eye and from all the bugs that might bite or sting. This is a ruqya. So here the author said, what about ruqya? Ruqya, talisman and amulet. So here the verdict for ruqya, it might be shirk or it may not be shirk. The ruqya which is shirk, that has a shirk element in it. The ruqya which is shirk is to ask by other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, to ask from people, to ask from a statue, to ask for something other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, that will be shirk. Also we have to stay from any type of ruqya that has a language that we do not understand. So the ruqya, to be correct, it has to be from the Qur'an or the Sunnah. It has to have to be from a language that we can understand. And it has to be free from any shirk. So if somebody says in the ruqya, and we add so-and-so jinn to deliver it from the healing, we add so-and-so jinn to do this to you, that will be all of it type of association, type of ruqya that is not permissible. Then we go on to the first chapter, the first hadith. وفي الصحيح عن أبي بشير الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أنه كان مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بعض أسفاره فأرسل رسولا أن لا يبقين في رقبة بعير قلادة من وتر أو قلادة إلا قطعت.
One of his journals,
The people of Al-Jahmiyyah, when they had camels, they used to put this necklace around their neck to protect the camel. A special necklace, not a necklace to guide the camel or to drive the camel, but a necklace to protect the camel. So the Prophet ﷺ sent his messenger to go and cut all those necklaces, because verily those necklaces cannot bring any protection to the camel. And if the Prophet is sending his messenger to cut the necklaces that around the animal's neck, then it should also be cut around the people's neck. A lot of people wear necklaces to bring protection to themselves. And those necklaces, they might have a blue stone, a yellow stone, any type of design that will bring protection, they think. Also we have an application of that. If you go to an Arabic country, or a Muslim country, you might see a lot of people who have cars. And on the car, they put in the back of it a little baby shoe. In the back of the car. Or in the front of the car. A baby shoe or anything, something dangerous from the car. And they do that and they think that will bring protection to the car. They used to do it in the camel in the old days. But now people, Muslims, they do that on their bus, on their cars, and so on and so forth. Do you see that? Have you seen that? Have you? What did you see?
Like squid and like horseshoe.
Mm-hmm. Like squid. In the front or in the back? In the front. Have you seen anything like that? The little shoe. Have you seen anything like that? What did you see? الحمد لله حاليًا. What have you seen?
The hand.
The hand. Because like just that part of a hand made out of steel or something, and they hang and dangle. All of that is what is part of shirk. Because they think by hanging those things, they are protecting their property. Whether it's a cow, a house, a car, this is shirk. What type of shirk? Depending on the intention of a person. If a person thinks the shoe itself will protect the car, that is major shirk. But if a person thinks that this will bring the protection of Allah, this is minor shirk. And that goes on to prove the point that how important it is to study the Tawheed. We look at our situation, our Muslim country, we see those things are practiced very widespread by a lot of people. How far that is from the core of Tawheed? From establishing oneness to Allah Azza wa Jalla in all aspects of our life. It's very far. And that will put upon us the responsibility to learn, to know. حتى نتعلم هذه الدين, نتعلم هذه الدعوة, نصحح العقائد, نصحح الأفكار, ثم من بعد ذلك ندعو إخواننا, وندعو أهلنا, وندعو أقاربنا. إلى ما فيه طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى ونجاة من الوقوع في الشرك والشركيات. So this is one thing. The other thing that the other hadith is saying, إن الرقى والتمائم والتولة شرك. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الرقى والتمائم والتولة شرك. So in this hadith, the Prophet said, "Ruqa al-tama'im al-tiwala shirk." Now let's stop at the Ruqa incantation. This hadith, the generality of this hadith, where it says Ruqa, it includes all types of Ruqa. But this generality is specified by other evidence in the Quran and the Sunnah. We're using ruqa from the Quran and the Sunnah that has no element of shirk in it is permissible. Just like we have mentioned before you about the dua of the Prophet وسلم, the story of the companion and so on and so forth. So remember that ruqa is two types. Ruqa which is haram because it has shirk in it, and ruqa which is permissible, and those things which are proven from the Quran and the Sunnah. التمائم. ما هي التمائم? التمائم, it's explained as something that to be put on the children, and they will think that that which is put on the child will protect the child from the evil eye, from being hinged. This is التمائم. So, it comes in many shapes, colors, and styles. And people develop it as they go by. All of that is tamaim, and all those tamaim are shirk. At-tiwala is a practice of witchcraft that a woman does for her husband to love her. If she's good to him, he will love her. So this is a practice of witchcraft that a wife does for her husband to love her. Also that, shirk. Then we have the hadith that من تعلق شيئا وكل إليه رواه أحمد والترمذي. الشيخ رواه أحمد والترمذي أبواب الطب بعد جاء في كراهة التعليق. قال حديث عبد الله بن حكيم إنما نعرفه من حديث ابن أبي ليلى. من هذا ابن أبي ليلى؟ هذا ابن أبي ليلى عبد الرحمن بن أبي ليلى ضعيف عبد الرحمن بن أبي ليلى في كتاب الطب، وذكر عنه هو الذهبي. وقال ابن البنا في فتح الرباني قلت هذا الحديث لا تقل درجته عن الحسن ولا سيما وله شواهد تؤيده، وأورده الألباني في ضعيف الجامع. فبما أن فيه ابن أبي ليلى فأورده الألباني في ضعيف الجامع فقد يكون أقرب إلى الضعف. But either way we explain it. It says whoever connects himself with something and depends on something, Allah will let him to that thing. If we depend on Allah, Allah will support us. If we depend on a stone, Allah will let us to that stone. And can you imagine a person is to a stone, and the stone cannot benefit, and cannot harm, and cannot keep evil at bay? So that person will be at loss. Then we have the hadith where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يا ريفة لعل الحياة تطول بك فأخبر الناس أن من عقد لحيته أو تقلد وترا أو استنجى برجيع دابة أو عظم فإن محمدا بريء منه. ريفة
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الحديث رسول قال أحمد أن السيدي وإسناد صحيح. This hadith goes to show us that the Prophet ﷺ prophesied that one of his companions will live long life, and he told him, if you see a person that put a knot in his beard, from this hadith we know that the people used to wear beards. That was the practice. But Islam comes to restrict us to wear beards in a certain style. Therefore Aisha radiallahu anha, just like the question that came yesterday, she used to swear by the one who beautified men with the beard. Inshallah we'll talk about that in a different occasion. However, whoever wears beard, he should not put a knot in that beard. People used to put a knot in the beard for the purpose of protecting themselves from the evil eye. If a person has a nice beard, a long beard, he would put the knot in it, and thinking that will take away from the beauty of his beard, then he will be protected from the evil eye. So whoever does that, the Prophet said he is disowning him. When we hear those statements that are severe statements, disowning him and such statements, that does not mean this person is outside of Islam. Does not mean this person is outside of Islam. But we leave it to that. The Prophet disowned him. But we cannot say this person is a disbeliever, because there is something that keeps him in Islam depending on his situation. And also whoever put upon himself a necklace, also not wearing a necklace for some reason, except for thinking this necklace will bring some type of protection for that person. Or a person who clean himself after defecation with a bone or with an animal dung or a bone. Because we know from another hadith, the animal dung or a bone of the animal is used for the jinn. The animal dung is used for the animal jinn. And the bone of the animal is used for the food of the jinn. كل عظم ذكر اسم الله عليه أوفر ما يكون لحما. every bone that is Allah, the name of Allah is mentioned upon it, the jinn find upon it meat. Flesh, food to eat. Do not be surprised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of the affair of his universe. And this is the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to Ibn Mas'ud, that kullu adhu dhukr ismu Allah alayhi awfar ma yakunu lahmat. Wa aydan rajih taba' al-dawab yakunu alafan li dawab al-jinn. So therefore, we should not utilize those things with our najasa, because then the jinn cannot eat it. And we are ruining the food of the jinn, and ruining the food is always. The thing of this hadith, the evidence of this hadith is whoever put a necklace around his neck. So wearing a necklace for the purpose of protection is an act of shirk, so we have to stay away from that in totality. وعن سعيد بن جبير قال من قطع تميمة من إنسان كان كعجل رقبة رواه وكيع. سعيد بن جبير said that whoever takes off the tamima that a person is wearing, this is equivalent to setting a person free. You know, one of the good deeds in Islam, if there is a person who is enslaved, is to go and buy this person and set him free for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'id ibn Jubayr is the student of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said, whoever sees a person wearing a necklace to bring upon himself protection, and then you go and you take this necklace out of his neck, it's as if you are setting a person free. Because this person is enslaving himself to the necklace, enslaving himself to shirk. So when you deliver him from that, you are delivering that person from shirk. However, when we read those hadith, that does not mean the practicality of it. If a free person wearing a necklace, we go and just yank it out of his neck. We have to always use the hikmah in our approach, how we talk to the people, how we clarify the issue to the people, and so on and so forth. وَرَهُ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ أي وَكِيعَ روى عن إبراهيم. من هو إبراهيم؟ النخع. إبراهيم النخع. قال كانوا يكرهون التمائم كلها من القرآن وغير القرآن. كانوا, they used to hate all the types of التمائم, whether it's Quranic or non-Quranic. And this refers to the companions of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. They, meaning the companions of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, because Ibrahim is one of the that group who were studying. So they used to hate all types of tamaim, whether it is made from Quran or not. But the tamaim which are put on in Quranic verses, we cannot say that shirk. Because Quran is one of the attributes of Allah. So if a person wears around his neck Surah Al-Kursi, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ, we cannot say to him that you are practicing shirk, because this is an attribute of Allah. And Prophet Muhammad says, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ, and this is كَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. Prophet says, I seek refuge in the words of Allah. And Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Kursi, all of it is the kalimat of Allah. So we cannot say that this person is committing an act of shirk. But we can say this act is not appropriate. This act is not permitted, we can say. Because the companion, the Prophet ﷺ, he did not protect his children or the children of the companion in putting the Quran around their neck. So we can say, according to what this report says, that this practice should not be done. Especially when it brings some kind of humiliation to the Quranic verses. See a child putting it in, running around, going to the bathroom, going out, and there's no glorification to that Quran that he is wearing. So now we have finished this chapter, and this chapter, the benefit of this chapter is to stay away from all type of things that we wear, talisman, or something that we say, incantation that has shirk in it. to clear our practices from elements of shirk.
And inshallah we go through those issues.
I read it inshallah and we go through it one by one. تأثير الرقى والتمائم. We got it from the hadith that we have mentioned. الثاني تفسير التولى. Bewitchment is the thing when a woman tries to do certain things of a bewitchment nature to make her husband like her. الثالثة أن هذه الثلاثة كلها من الشرك من غير استثناء. And that is the three that is referred to is what are the three that is referred to in that issue? Okay. But here it will bring, this statement will bring to the understanding that all the ruqa is haram, all the ruqa is shirk. But the fact of the matter is not, because it was authenticated that the Prophet ﷺ used to make ruqya on himself and on his family. The fourth issue, إِنَّ الرُّقْيَ بِالْكَلَامِ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الْعَيْنِ وَالْحِمَى لَيْسَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And in this issue, he tells us that we can do